is right, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of the week once again. When you hear that soundbite, you know it's time for Fantasy. And I am your host, the Roto Superstar himself, Brandon Murchison, coming into the show like Michael Jordan in Utah back so many years ago with a little bit of a sinus infection, feeling like crap, but we're going to get this show done today. Joined, as always, by Nick Heffley. How's it been down there in Atlanta, GA this week, sir?
Woo! Fantasy! Pollen is rampant down here just like it is up in Tennessee, but ready to get going on a little football, a little fantasy football, a little draft action here in a couple of weeks, man. It's approaching quickly.
Exactly. It's hard to imagine that coming into this week, we're going to be 2 weeks away from the NFL draft kicking off 2 weeks from Thursday in Dallas, Texas, where my Cowboys play. And how apropos is it that the draft is being held in Dallas, and the biggest news from the week in terms of fantasy football is the Cowboys cutting Dez Bryant. Huge news, I guess, in terms of fantasy. It has implications. If you kind of look at how Twitter has taken to this, yes, there's some upset Cowboy fans out there. You can put me in the minority. I'm not so upset. Just because doing what I do in analytical work and writing for Roto Experts, you kind of go back and look at a lot more of the numbers side of things. And Dez Bryant, numbers wise, is not living up to the billing that we pay him on the field as a Dallas Cowboys fan. Now, I think he should have taken the pay cut to stick around. I know they say he says that a pay cut was never offered to him, but that's all he said. She said stuff right now. We all know that they wanted to keep him on that team, but they wanted to keep him on there at an appropriate price. And for a guy that cannot separate from cornerbacks anymore on the outside, playing in the X position that he plays at on that outside, he's more of an oversized slot receiver at this point in his career. And we've got too many slot receivers on the Cowboys right now, so I think it was a good move to let him go, because I think it was going to be more of a cancerous situation to keep him on that team. And I think going forward, wherever he lands, I think is going to be a cancerous situation, because he's the type of player, and I said this in a discussion I was having with people the other day, Dez Bryant believes in the Dez Bryant that he was 8 years ago when he came out of college to join the Dallas Cowboys. He still thinks he is that Dez Bryant from 8 years ago, and that is no longer the case. Foot injuries and surgeries has just completely derailed his career, and he's no longer that player. And so if he's not out there getting the ball as soon as, you know, the offense takes the field, he's the type of player that if you don't throw him and get him a target in the first drive, he folds tent. He goes into business for himself, and it's terribly, terribly evident as a Cowboys fan to see that in the second half of ball games. You can go and look, prime example, week 17 last year against the Eagles. Third quarter, when we were down, Dez Bryant starts doing Dez Bryant things, makes plays, stiff arms, gets the ball down the field, does some things that he needs to do to get us in a position to get ahead and possibly win this ball game. But then on a drive very, very late in the game where we really could have iced it at that point in time, there's a play where he's coming across the middle for a first down, hands a stone, boom, ball hits the ground. Just an easy pass that he could have caught, but just can't catch the ball, and that's the knack on the guy. He led the league in drops last year. He's just not reliable when it comes in terms of catching the ball anymore. And like I said earlier, he cannot separate from defenders on the outside. And those are two things you have to be able to do if you're going to play as an outside receiver in the NFL in 2018.
So, okay, well, let's say, okay, I understand all that. I understand he led the league in drops and all this.
Yes.
But if you're a Cowboys fan and if you're a fantasy football owner, two separate things here. So as a Cowboys fan, and this is from an outside perspective, as a non-Cowboys fan, as a proclaimed Cowboys hater, you guys just went to me from an 8-8 record to probably a 5-11 record. You have no receivers to throw the ball to right now. Nobody. And I understand that Dez was not up to the level that he has been in years past. I completely get it. But at the same time right now, you're trying to have Allen Hurns and an injured Terrence Williams out there. Granted, you're probably going to draft a wide receiver in the first or second round that's probably going to come out with that. But you've gone from having a borderline probably last playoff team in to you guys ain't making the playoffs right now. Fantasy perspective, Dez is long gone from the days that he was, you know, a top 5 to 10 guy at the wide receiver position. Even really no matter where he goes, he's not going to go in a situation to where I think he's going to get drafted that high. You're probably looking at a number 2 receiver. I know there's some rumors on the Redskins and a couple other teams out there right now. So I'm sure we'll get this figured out soon where he's going to go, probably after the draft. But he's not a guy that I don't think fantasy owners are going to be excited about anytime soon.
No, I mean, kind of to your point, his departure kind of goes into what I've said for months on end now and what I've told you kind of from the word go, what I feel like this Cowboys offense is going to be in 2018 is it's going to be a more close to the line of scrimmage offense. It's going to be quick passes, short intermediate routes, but they're going to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott until he falls on the ground, basically, in 2018. Yeah, he's going to...
That's not a formula for winning, though. That's a formula for Zeke Elliott being a great fantasy player. That is not a formula for
the
NFL.
It's not a formula for winning.
It's not.
And now,
if you have a great defense.
Exactly.
It is if you have a good
defense. To do that, then I agree. Well, we do not. We have a young, up-and-coming defense.
Okay.
They're learning on the fly. But, yeah, no, I don't think. But it's like I've told you, too, as well, is that I don't think Dez Bryant is the playmaker that makes or breaks this offense. This is going to put more of an emphasis on Dak Prescott to read a defense and complete passes to the open receivers. It's not going to be any more of this whole, well, you know, we're going to have 12 attempts in the first quarter. 5 of them have to go to Dez Bryant. We're not going to be forcing targets to another person anymore. It's essentially, this is now becoming an offense where we're picking and choosing our spots. We're going to have to, if Zeke Elliott's getting 4 yards a carry, then let him get 4 yards a carry, and we'll just go down the field and run the clock out. That's how that offense is basically going to be set up this year. Is it going to be fantasy friendly? Probably not.
It's going to be sexy? Definitely not.
No, I mean, is it going to be something to where Ezekiel Elliott is going to return the value that you're going to draft him number 2 or 3 overall in your draft? Sure, because he's going to get the ball a ton. I mean, he's going to be
he's going to get
guaranteed
fed.
Touches guy that you're going to want as your running back 1 this year.
He's going to get fed so much, he's going to look like Bartolo Colon pitching right now. That's how much Zeke's going to get fed this year.
He's going to get well fed. I mean, I'd be willing to go on record right now that Elliott's probably going to be the leader in the clubhouse by the end of the season in points at the running back position. That's just, I feel very confident that they're going to be doing everything they can to get him in the end zone, to get him passes, catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's probably going to be honing in on 400 touches this year, and man, that doesn't happen often. So if you're lucky enough to get that guy on your team, you know, don't be a bonehead. Don't make that mistake. Go after and, you know, go out there and get the guy. I mean, honestly. But as for Dez, I mean, like you touched on it, when the release happened and I heard the news where he said that he's, you know, I'll see you twice next year, talking to the reporters outside of the offices, my immediate reaction was Redskins. Josh Norman had nice things to say about him a week or two ago. So that tells me that there's already been some conversation.
Might not be the worst place in the world for him.
Yeah, I mean, he feeds in and would be an easy target for Alex Smith in that offense. I mean, you know, Jamison Crowder's locked down the slot receiver role. They need kind of that veteran-type receiver to come in and play that X spot, a guy that's going to be physical, be a red zone threat, because let's be honest, Jordan Reed's probably not going to be there very much longer. Lord knows he's going to get hurt within the first few weeks of the season, so they're going to need a red zone threat. Dez Bryant, to me, fits in very, very well in that offense. is he going to be sexy for fantasy purposes in Washington with Alex Smith at quarterback? No. I mean, can he be a viable wide receiver three for your fantasy team? Probably. Is he going to be more of a standard scoring league threat than a PPR threat? Of course he is. It's just how Dez Bryant is. I mean, I think he's had one career 1,000-yard season, and that was in 2014, and he's not done much else since. So, I mean, if you're going to be realistic with Dez Bryant and his fantasy fortunes in 2018, I think he's going to be a guy that you're really going to watch to see where he lands. And right now, my money's on Washington. But I'd also bank on San Francisco and Seattle or two other spots that I wouldn't be shocked to see him go.
Yeah, I think another good spot too, and I don't know what their cap situation looks like. Carolina Panthers could be a really good situation for him as well. Lack of a true clear number one in there. If I'm Dez Bryant though, there is no way that I don't look at going to San Francisco 49ers. Great situation for him if he lands there. Great quarterback situation there.
Great quarterback, but Dez Bryant, that's been in the league for 8 years, you would think that he's going to start. A, he's got that emotional side to him that he wants to play Dallas. He wants to stick it to Dallas. But he also is, in 8 years in the league, you have to start thinking about championship. Going to San Francisco, do you really think they're ready to compete for a championship either of the next 2 or 3 years?
No.
Not at all. So,
well, looking at those teams, I mean, the Redskins are not going to compete for a championship.
They're not, but they're going to
fit Seattle, into his... Seattle's probably not going to compete for a championship, even though Russell Wilson is doing his thing. They do have I think one of the things that has hurt Dez Bryant, though, is and we talked about this on last week's show, is the lack of a true – or maybe it was the week before – the lack of a true second weapon for teams to take the pressure off. Maybe he does go to Seattle where Doug Baldwin's there to you know, perhaps take the number one corner and put it off of, you know, Dez Bryant onto Doug Baldwin to where Dez is then going against the number two guy. That's a great situation for him. Maybe he needs to go somewhere where he's not the top dog option there to where he's, you know, kind of a 1B. I think that would do wonders for him.
Yeah, to me, those are the most logical spots for him to go to. I think Adam Schefter brought up the Cardinals, and he brought up the Packers as well. I mean, I don't see him going to either one of those two. I could see him go to Green Bay if he's chasing the championship. But like I said, I think his emotions are driving him more right now more than anything. And he's got it out for Jason Garrett and the coaching staff and some of these players that he feel like kind of left him by the wayside and basically ran him out of town. So I think his want to stick it to this team probably is going to factor into his decision more than a championship run. So to me, I would be shocked if he didn't go to Washington at this point in time. But then, of course, you got Chris Mortensen. I think he's reporting that there's little to no interest from any of the teams in the NFC East right now. I think that changes after the draft. If Washington really doesn't go after a receiver in the draft, that tells me that they're kind of keeping that spot open for Dez. But anyways, moving on, we wanted to kind of get that out of the way first, cover that. That was kind of a big topic that just broke over the last few days. But moving on, last week we did quarterbacks. This week we're wanting to tackle the running back position with the ADP information. I want to talk about the top 10 at that position currently. Starting right off, fresh off the top there, Todd Gurley going unanimously in most of these mock drafts as the first overall player. Todd Gurley off the board. Are you good with that, or do you think Le'Veon Bell deserves that mantle this year?
You know what? I'm probably in the minority here, but taking a look, you know, and I know he's just coming off injury, but I still like David Johnson, number one. To me, he's done nothing other than get hurt to say that he is not the number one overall back. Now, I mean, granted, the situation could very well change for the Cardinals there, but I do still like David Johnson. But Todd Gurley is a very, very close number two for me. I mean, Gurley's gonna the offense there is great. It's built around you know, the short passing game, which Gurley's gonna take advantage of. I just think in the end that teams are gonna key on Gurley a little bit more, and he's not gonna have as good of a year as he had last year. It'd be hard to repeat those numbers, but I think Gurley could definitely do it. But I personally have David Johnson as my top running back, but Gurley is right there at number two.
Ooh, that's a bit of a stretch. I think you would probably be
Isn't it?
Definitely
You know
in the
what?
minority there.
Hey, you know what? I am fine being in the minority. I've learned over the years that I am much happier being the minority than the majority, because how many years, year after year, do people go after these top backs and they're not what they're supposed to be? Last year, David Johnson was that guy, so odds are he's going to come back and be, you know, up at the top of the running back board. So, me personally, if I had the top ever pick, I'm going David Johnson, but Gurley's very close second.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if I had my druthers between the two, I would definitely say Todd Gurley, just for the sheer impact of that offense. I think that Rams offense is almost back to being what they were in the early 2000s as far as ability to score and a threat at any point on the field. So I think Todd Gurley's rushing ability, you know, coupled with the fact of him and his receiving ability coming out of the backfield, I think he's just a clear number one right now to me. He can score touchdowns, catch passes, with whatever type of scoring you want, Todd Gurley is giving you. And I think the offensive line factors in as well. They have a very good, decent offensive line. Whereas opposed to, like, you know, David Johnson, that is probably my biggest fear with David Johnson coming in this year is the lack thereof of an offensive line. I think, you know, we'll talk more about David Johnson here in a second. But, yeah, Todd Gurley for me, I have no qualms about him being the top overall player. If I had any fears whatsoever, is just kind of what you alluded to, what you touched on, is you're chasing last year's points. And do you think Todd Gurley is going to match or exceed those points? That's kind of what you're thinking if you're taking the guy number one overall. You're thinking you're going to get the same player from last year, maybe even a little better. And almost every single time, the player that has those type of numbers just fails to repeat them the year after.
They don't live up.
Don't live up to the hype. So
if they don't live up.
Any fear to me at all with Todd Gurley, that would be it. But do I still think he's going to finish among the top five at the running back position? Sure. So taking him number one overall, the value you're going to get in return, I think, is fine enough by season's end. So number two on the board is Le'Veon Bell. I think he was kind of, in most drafts last year, it was kind of a toss-up between him and David Johnson as far as the top picker overall. So now you're back at it again this year with Le'Veon Bell coming off the board number two right now, ADP-wise. Any issues with that?
Yeah, no. I think these top four running backs here, and we're talking Gurley, Le'Veon, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott. I think they're all interchangeable. I think really the thing that I look at when I look at the production from these guys, they're all going to catch passes. They're all going to be there. To me, the big difference is who's going to score touchdowns, who's going to get touchdowns in bunches. And that's where I think, you know, that's the only issue I have with Le'Veon Bell, because I haven't Le'Veon before. Big Ben gets down there and gets in the red zone, and they don't really hand off to Le'Veon ton like they should. They'll do some short passes. Le'Veon will get his touchdowns here, but out of these top four, to me, Le'Veon is the worst, at least in terms of touchdown production for what I think it's going to be this year. But let's face it, at the end of the day, if I've got a top four pick, I am fine having any one of these four guys.
Yeah, I agree. If you kind of go back and jump into the numbers from last year, Le'Veon Bell was the only running back out of any of the players in the league last year to cross the 100 target plateau. He actually had 103 targets last year, led all running backs with 85 receptions for 655 and only two touchdowns. So it's heavily involved in the passing game in that offense, which, you know, that has to be expected again this year. I would not be shocked to see him actually hit those numbers again this year, the way that offense plays. His rushing totals, he had 9 touchdowns last year with 1,291 yards rushing.
And hey, let's look at 11 total touchdowns is
Eleven to total
freaking
touchdowns.
great numbers. But I think Gurley, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, those are guys that are going to get you 2+ touchdowns a week, as opposed to Le'Veon, you might be looking at 1. Still great production amongst these top 4 guys that we're going to touch on these next two here in just
Yeah,
a
I mean,
second.
yeah, Le'Veon,
But
he's a
you're
consistent
splitting
guy.
hairs with it.
Yeah,
You're
you really
splitting
are.
hairs.
I mean, he's a consistent guy. He scores in bunches, I think, is his biggest deal. He might go 3 weeks without scoring a touchdown, but in those 3 weeks, he might still give you 20 points with
Sure.
his rushing and his receiving. So it is splitting hairs, any of these guys that are up at the top four, top five. So it's kind of more or less, pick the guy that you like, essentially, is how that's going to come down. It's going to come down that way in drafts. If you've got any pick in the top five, you might be an Antonio Brown guy and want to take him early just because of the consistency he brings each and every year. But if you're looking running back, you're definitely wanting to go running back early once you find out where you're drafting. Yeah, top four, top five, you're basically just taking the best player that comes to you. So, yeah, Le'Veon at two, I'm not thrown off at all by that. I'll definitely take that. Do I have a guy that I think is going to be number two, better than Le'Veon? Sure, I do. And that guy plays in Dallas. So we'll get to him in just a minute. Next, though, is the guy that Nick just mentioned just a second ago, is David Johnson coming off the board as the third running back. So I know you're high on him. And like I said, my nervousness with David Johnson this year is probably going to be that offense. Sam Bradford at quarterback, Larry Fitzgerald at receiver, no other receiver to speak of currently. And an offensive line that was one of the worst in football last year. Is David
Well, sure. I
Johnson.
mean, it looks a whole lot better when you got a David Johnson running behind a line than you have Chris Johnson and some of the cast-offs that the Cardinals tried to trot out last year.
Yeah, and that's.
Look, David Johnson, I mean, granted, it'd be awesome if he has a great line, but look at what Barry Sanders did with the Lions. He never really had a good offensive line, but he had the kind of moves, he had the kind of ability to be able to make up for that. Look, David Johnson, I love David Johnson. David Johnson is one of those guys, obviously, if healthy, that he's going to be one of the top backs. He's going to get receptions. That offense, granted, the one thing you do have to look at is Bruce Arians has moved on. You have to think that, the guys that are designing that offense now with David Johnson back and healthy, that they're going to get him the ball any possible way they can, much like who we're going to talk about next year. Zeke Elliott. I mean, you've got an offense that's not going to be very good overall. You're going to have to get your stud the ball, and they're gonna feed David Johnson quite a bit there in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna get fed. That's the biggest thing with David Johnson. It's just I have qualms about what he can accomplish on the ground, and his touchdown potential. Yeah, how much will this Arizona Cardinals offense really truly be able to score this year? And that draws a big question mark for me. I mean, am I one of the bigger David Johnson supporters since he's been in the league? Yes, I was big on him coming into the league. Drafted him quite a bit in his rookie season amongst the leagues that I was in. I've always been high on the guy, but the way that offense has started to turn south, you have to wonder how much is David Johnson such a superior talent that he can overcome the inadequacies of the players around him, or is he so superior or that he can rise above that, or will he just crumble and just come back to the middle of the pack when it comes to the running back position? Yeah, will he drop down more towards the low end running back one this year? You can make the case that he will, but then like what you said, you can make the case as well. Yeah, he could finish top one, top two. Yeah, who knows? I think his
He's
receiving prowess
volley.
is going to be his biggest attribute
Yeah.
this year.
I think his volatility is as high as any of these top four guys. I mean, he definitely has the ability to finish lower. I mean, I don't think Gurley's finishing outside of the, but let's look at top 10s. I mean, it doesn't, it's tough to tell production, but Gurley's not, barring injury, Gurley, Bell, Elliott are not finishing outside the top 10 if they play at or the full complement of games. David Johnson does have a chance to. He has a little volatility there. I'm just of the thinking that I think David Johnson's going to come back with full force. He's one of those guys that is a, you know, two touchdown a week kind of guy for me. That offense is going to run through him. I see good things for him in the 2018 season.
Yeah, I mean, he could live up to that. That is definitely the case. So, moving on, we're coming to four, Ezekiel Elliott. That is actually – that's my guy. You know, whether he's
moving on to number five.
I mean, yeah, honestly. I mean, he is a Dallas Cowboy, so, of course, I'm going to root for him hard. But in terms of fantasy production and potential this year, I do feel – yeah, even if you take my fandom out of it, the situation that he's in, the offense that he's playing with, the fact that he missed so many games last year because of the bogus suspension handed down by that idiot commissioner, he's got some tread on the tires this year, and he's going to come in playing with a chip on his shoulder. So I would not be shocked to see him come into that front office meeting and tell those guys, tell Jason Garrett, tell Scott Linehan, tell everybody on the offensive coaching staff, I don't care if you give me the ball 30, 35 times a game, I want it. And that is the exact attitude that I want out of my guy that is going to be a high pick in my fantasy draft, a guy that's going to be my number one running back. I want that bell cow. I want that guy that's going to get the ball a guaranteed 20 to 25 times a week. And Elliott's going to be that guy for sure, whether it's going to be on the ground or in the air. He's going to be scoring points each and every week.
The thing that you're going to have to worry about, though, is teams are going to be stacking 8-9 in the box. With that offense as it stands, and I'm sure the Cowboys will draft a wide receiver. I'm sure they'll get somebody in there. But as it stands right now, he's going to be facing a lot of stacked fronts. I mean, that is the one thing I'm worried about Zeke with. I mean, granted, he is the kind of running back that can bust through that and bust some long runs as he's been known to do. But that's something you're going to have to look at is when you have a really shitty wide receiver core, you got an aging Jason Witten, UT Sport Management, you're going to face some fronts there. So, you know, Zeke, that line is really good, but they were not as good last year as they have been in years past. Zeke's going to face some big fronts. I still think he's going to have a good year, but I'm saying just, you know, week to week, he's going to have a lot of people to go through.
And I mean, I agree with that point as well, but he's not going to run against any more or less stacked boxes than a David Johnson will. But do I trust the Cowboys offensive line more than I trust the Cardinals offensive line? That is the big tipping point for me, and yes, the Cowboys offensive line is by far and away better than Arizona Cardinals offensive line at this stage right now.
I'll agree with you.
Excuse me. But, yeah, so I think both of us like Elliott. You know, like we keep saying, you're just splitting hairs. You're kind of nitpicking with some of these picks up at the top. So next off the
board. It's fun to be able to nitpick, though, with these guys. Yeah, I mean, you're splitting hairs with these top four. I think here's where we have kind of this – we have – top four guys are in a tier by themselves. This is kind of where that next, to me, tier two begins right here at the fifth running back spot.
Yeah, and the fifth running back is the rookie sensation, Alvin Kamara from the New Orleans Saints. Former UT ball.
Brandon's chlamydia is kicking in here. Sorry, Brandon.
It's just all this talking and this is more talking than I've done probably all weekend with the way I've been feeling, so you're going to have to suffer through it just as though I'm suffering through it. But we're getting there. So, Alvin Kamara, fifth off the board, like we just said. Woo to Alvin Kamara, former UT Vol. Big year last year. Was mostly the number two overall running back by season's end in a lot of the points leagues with his PPR value and scoring potential. So, seeing him rise up the draft boards now up to the fifth spot, are you comfortable taking Alvin Kamara at number five if it's your pick?
Me personally, if it's my pick, yeah, I'm fine with that. If I'm in a PPR league, I am completely 100% comfortable taking Alvin Kamara here at five. If I'm in a non-PPR league, I'm probably going to go with the likes of somebody like a Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, somebody like that. But Kamara's PPR value is crazy. I think he's going to get used even more this upcoming season in that Saints offense. So, yes, PPR league, Kamara, perfect slot for him right here.
Yeah, I agree with PPR format. He has more value in that spot. I would actually argue, too, though, with the fact that Leonard Fournette's probably a guy that I would probably put at the fifth spot as the way things are shaking out right now. You kind of sleep on the fact that Leonard Fournette showed that he could catch passes coming out of the backfield last year. So, I think
he can. He's not going to catch as many as Kamara and have as much value in a PPR league as Kamara. But I think this is, again, where we're getting this tier two, and we're just splitting on our hairs. Looking down just from an overall look at these guys, the running back position is in fantasy, especially at a PPR position, is probably as deep as it's been in at least the last 5 or 6 years. I know I'm writing guys' names down who I'd be perfectly happy being as a number one, and they're getting drafted, as a number two back here. So, I think we're splitting hairs here on a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that sentiment as well. It's like I keep saying, pick your flavor when it comes to a lot of these running backs. But I will agree that this is probably one of the more deep classes at running back that we've seen in recent memory with the available value, especially high up the board in running backs, running back availability this year with fantasy football. So that's why we're here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to tell you who to take, who to kind of steer clear of, who to keep an eye on. That's our job. We do the work for you so you don't have to. That's my motto. That's what we're doing. So, next guy off the board, sixth running back. We've got Kareem Hunt making an appearance inside the top 10. Everyone's darling from last year. If you were lucky enough to draft him at a very cheap price before the injury came down with Spencer Ware, you got a player at a very cheap price that returned great value for you. But if you were in drafts after the injury, you saw his ADP skyrocket in a matter of days. So with him landing at six, got a new look offense in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback. What are we thinking here?
Six. You know, this is one of the value, and I had a couple of drafts right around the time frame of the Spencer Ware injury. I had one where I was able to get Kareem Hunt in the sixth round. I had a draft the day after Spencer Ware got hurt. I had to take Kareem Hunt at the end of round two just to be safe that I was going to get him. At this pick, I am not a fan of Kareem Hunt. I personally think Kareem Hunt's going to have a little bit of a sophomore slump. He's still for me, is going to finish as a number one running back in drafts in a PPR format, 12-team league. He's still going to finish as a number one, but getting drafted this high, I think you'll look back at the end of the year and say, yeah, he had a good year, but he didn't really have the kind of year that, returned the value of as high as I drafted him. So at least for where he's going in this, I'm not a fan of him going this high. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, kind of looking down the list a little bit and everything as well, I agree. He's a little bit high for me. I think there's going to be some letdown factor there with Kareem Hunt this year. That offense is going to have to change a little bit with Patrick Mahomes. I think you're going to see a lot more improvisation put into this offense. Let Patrick Mahomes get outside the pocket, kind of run around and extend plays, make plays with his feet. That's something you weren't really seeing too much out of with Alex Smith. So some of the yardage that you could have gotten out of Kareem Hunt, I think, is probably going to sway a little bit more to Patrick Mahomes. So you're going to have to rely. Kareem Hunt's going to be a guy that's going to rely heavily on scoring potential. He's going to have to get the scoring potential and have to basically score when he has the chances. If you're giving him the ball first and goal from the 2-yard line and he doesn't get in on first or second down, it's a wasted opportunity, and that's going to be
Travis Kelce time.
Yeah, it's Travis Kelce time. third down. So, and then that scoring opportunity in its own right is a wasted opportunity and one that you're kicking yourself on, because a guy like a Melvin Gordon or a guy like a Leonard Fournette would be people that are not going to shy away from that opportunity, and they're going to get the ball in the end zone. So that's one thing I'm going to look at with Kareem Hunt this year is, will he score enough touchdowns and will he catch enough passes? That's the other thing, because I think they're gonna have to feature him more in their passing game, because you saw it middle of the year last year with Andy Reid, he completely shied away from this kid.
He disappeared.
Yeah,
And granted, teams were probably focusing on him middle of the season a lot more. Kareem Hunt did a great job toward the end of the year when it was fantasy playoff time for most leagues. And he showed back up and he returned that value that he had lost midseason. But I think he's going to get some catches. I think where Kareem Hunt's question for me is going to come in, at least I'm getting drafted this high, is the amount of touchdowns he's going to score. I think he's going to see touchdowns. He'll probably at the end of the year have about six touchdowns or so, which is, again, it's not a horrible total with the totals he's going to have. It's just not for me. There's other guys who I think are going to do more.
Yeah. I mean, and then you have to think too, competition behind him on the running back depth chart. He's not got a lot sitting behind him to threaten him for touches at all, unless they, which actually, if you look at it, in the span of the 30 minutes we've been doing the show, I think the Chiefs have signed, released, and signed again CJ Spiller in the span of the 30 minutes we've been doing this show so far. So there you also have that, because that is something they did quite well last year. I think CJ Spiller was signed and cut probably 5 times during the season last year. It was a big joke on Twitter for a lot of us in the fantasy community. So,
Hey, there you go. So you got your money from CJ Spiller because you mentioned him on the show here. Now he can be out.
that's true. I was trying to get a CJ Spiller mention in today. That's so I accomplished
Congratulations. You've been saving
that. Moving on, seventh spot, Leonard Fournette falling at number 7 in the running back ADP. I, for one, I disagree with that, but let me get your take on Leonard Fournette, number 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you flop Leonard Fournette up a little bit, I think that's better for his value. I mean, Fournette is going to be a guy that I think is going to build on what he did last year and, be that guy. I have no problems taking Fournette, whereas, Hunt, I have a little bit of a question mark for Fournette. I think he's going to have a good year this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very, very high on Fournette coming into the year right now. I would probably have him inside my top 5, just for sheer fact of how that offense is shaped around him, the additions that they've made. I mean, you have to remember they brought in another offensive lineman to play for this next year too, and just the addition to an offensive line that was already playing pretty decent last year is a big boost in value for a Leonard Fournette for me. Chris Ivory's gone, so less competition for any type of touches in that backfield. The biggest thing with Leonard Fournette, though, can he stay on the field? We saw it last year. Some of the foot injuries kind of came into play. Some of the things that plagued him his senior year, or his last year at LSU, not his senior year, his last year at LSU, he had many, many issues with foot injuries, and he kind of started to play a little bit hesitant. And I think you saw that last year. Yeah, the Jaguars did the smart thing and were very, very cautious and pulled him off the field. I think there were some of them games he could have played if they were big enough games and they meant a lot more, but that's going to be his thing. Can he play through these little nicked up injuries that you get throughout the year? And if he does, he's got the guy. He's going to be the guy that's going to return that top 5 value that you're probably going to draft outside the top 5. For me, yes, I am high on Fournette. Touchdown potential's there. Yeah, he's going to be one of the guys that's going to probably score double-digit touchdowns this year. And that alone is going to have him where he's threatening and pushing for the top 5 finish. So, yes, Leonard Fournette for me. I disagree with him being 7th. I think you're going to see that ADP start to shift a little bit as we get into the summer. But moving on to the number 8, we got Melvin Gordon. Falling in at number 8, Melvin Gordon, another guy that tends to get nicked up, kind of comes off the field at times and is got a little bit of competition back behind him. So where are your thoughts at on Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon's a little high for me here. I've got him ranked and doing a quick analysis of the running back position, ranked at 11. So for me, going 8th a little high. I think there's a couple other guys like for me, a Christian McCaffrey, Shady McCoy, Delvin Cook. That for me, I like a little bit better than I like Melvin Gordon. So for me, taking him here is a little bit too high, mainly for the competition behind him. He's got a couple other guys nipping at his heels. Again, he tends to get hurt and tends to disappear for times during games. I got a quarterback that's getting a little bit older there. Again, for me, I think this is a little high for Melvin Gordon. I think, again, I don't think Melvin Gordon, much like Kareem Hunt, I don't think there's going to be a huge dip off, but they're guys that I like better than I like Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat.
Of course you are. Yeah. Every guy that I love or hate, of course we're always on the same.
It's just, I mean, I had Melvin Gordon last year in the high-stakes league, and he did well enough in most weeks to get the job done. But like what Nick said, is he has moments where he just disappears, and next thing you know, you're looking on the field, and you're going, where's Melvin Gordon at? He hadn't been on the field this whole entire quarter. And so you get a lot of that with Melvin Gordon. They'll throw in their backup running back from time to time and let them get an extended run where it makes you question, is the cardio up to speed? Is the endurance up to speed with a guy like Melvin Gordon?
Like, why aren't they playing him more?
Yes, why is he not getting the touches and the guaranteed looks that some of these other top-tier elite running backs are getting? Because when he's on the field and he's getting the looks and he gets into the rhythm, the guy scores in bunches and he provides a healthy amount and a consistent amount of points. So, I mean, that's more me calling the Chargers to task more than what do I think of the talent level of Melvin Gordon. So I think it's something where, you know, they're going to have to do something to get him more involved on a consistent basis. But for me at 8, yeah, there's probably some guys that I like their upside a little bit better this year. So I just don't. Yeah, it's going to be something where, Gordon. I mean, he's another one of these splitting hairs guys. I think you're going to be easily. You're going to drop him back. He's going to be a running back one. You're going to draft him in that top 10. But I think there's a couple of guys that are probably squeaking ahead of him. Moving to 9th. 9th spot on here, you have Dalvin Cook returning from injury for the Minnesota Vikings. Do you like the guy coming back from injury as a running back one already?
You know, I do. I think this is still a little high, but I ultimately wish, at least for my purposes, that he were going a little bit later, because Dalvin Cook, when he, you know, last year was the first year in the league, And they gave the ball to him like a number one, and he performed. He was a top running back last year, you know, when he was out there before his injury. So I think with the offense that he's in, and them pretty much, I think they're going to do what they can to feature him in this offense. I think this is a great spot to be able to take Dalvin Cook. Would I like him as my number two as opposed to my number one? Of course, but you know, if he's already getting drafted this high, I think teams and owners out there are just seeing the type of ability that he flashed last year. So I think, again, for me, I would love for him to be my number two, but I don't have a problem with him going right here. I would rather take Dalvin Cook than and his upside over Melvin Gordon.
Which I agree with that. He's one of these upside potential guys that I like coming into the year. The only thing you have to watch out for him as we head into the 2018 season is how big of a role will Latavius Murray play? Will Latavius Murray be the guy that's going to get those short yardage goal line looks and steal some of the touchdowns away from Dalvin? And that's the biggest question I have with him moving forward. But like Nick said, yeah, his what he did in the limited time on the field last year, he looked like a running back one. He played like a running back one, and he got touches like a running back one.
He's
So,
going to get catches too. Let's not forget that. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you had Jerick McKinnon last year come in, and he was a fantasy revelation for a lot of teams down the stretch. If you had Jerick McKinnon on your team toward the end of last year, you did really well. You know, Latavius, I think, is just there as more of a change of pace back guy. Dalvin Cook is going to catch the ball, and he's going to have some really good weeks out there. So I think that's why Dalvin Cook is going this high. Latavius has gotten to that point where he is strictly a complimentary back. Dalvin Cook's going to take the lead in this, what's looking to be a high-powered offense in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, he will take the lead. I'll give you that for sure. But yeah, I do fear that vulturing that can take place. You know, that happens every single year. But I think the reason why his ADP right now is where it is because of the allure of a young running back. I mean, you're going to see that constantly as we get into the summer months after the draft. You know, you're going to have your Saquon Barkleys jumping into this area. Around that end of the first round, early second round type pick. Yeah, everyone's going to fall in love with these rookie running backs. They do every year. It's been happening ever since Elliott, you know, Zeke came into the league. Everyone's chasing that rookie running back potential. And
But look what they've done, though, Brandon.
but
Look what they've done the last couple
they've
of
done
years. They
great.
have absolutely returned their value. Kareem Hunt last year.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, I mean,
Christian McCaffrey, who we're getting ready to talk about here really soon. Leonard
yeah,
Fournette,
I
Zeke
mean,
Elliott. These guys that have been going high in drafts have actually returned the value. You know, people have been chasing the rookies, and guess what? The rookies the last 2 or 3 years, they've been returning the value.
well,
So,
I mean,
you know,
one
there's
that
a
we
lot of
already
merit to
talked
that.
about, like, I mean, is Alvin Kamara. He went largely undrafted last year, and look at where he finished. I mean, everyone was trying to figure out the running back situation between Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram, and little did they know that Alvin Kamara was going to be a guy that really, really factored into that offense. I mean, but another pat myself on the back situation. If you would have read any of my articles going into the season, I figured Alvin Kamara to be very a potential sleeper, very heavily involved in this offense, and it pretty much came into my favor. Makes me look kind of smart. You know, I might not be smart from time to time, but I have my moments, and that was one of them. So, yeah, but no, to your credit, the rookie running backs coming in the league here lately have definitely exceeded all value and exceeded expectations as well. So, you know, why not continue to chase after these young guys coming in the league that have something to prove and a little bit fresher legs and as long as they go to the right spot and they have the right fit and the right offense, you know, sky's the limit for some of these guys. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, shoot for the moon with some of these rookie running backs.
And now we get to talk about an old guy.
Now we're getting to talk about the old
At
guard at
least
running back.
in terms. Yeah, we get to talk about Shady McCoy's going 10th here. I've personally been a big Shady McCoy fan for a long time. You know, he's one of these guys that he gets the ball a lot. He plays in an offense that's not very good. I think what you're going to see from Zeke Elliott and David Johnson is what we've been seeing out of Shady McCoy the last couple of years. Going to get some touches. You know, he doesn't exactly play in a great offense. What do you think about Shady going 10 here, B?
I think that's where you're going to kind of see him fall in a lot of drafts. He's going to be one of these final running back ones coming off the board. I think everybody's going to have a little bit of hesitancy when it comes to Shady McCoy coming in this year, like I have right now. He's been fairly healthy for the most part for the last few seasons. Yes, he gets nicked up, comes off the field from time to time.
He almost looks like he's had a torn ACL each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's actually come back later in the game. It's amazing
he
his
gets stretchered
ability
off,
to.
and then you sit there and you wonder, okay, gosh, I've got to already plan what's my waiver wire move going to be? Who am I going to get to
Oh,
replace
no.
Shady
Hold
McCoy?
on. Shady McCoy's coming back out.
Two drives later, here comes Shady McCoy back in, looking to try to get the pop from the crowd, so to speak, and hope me, trying to come in looking like a hero. And I mean, gosh, I think it's eventually all these little small injuries, all these little nicks and tears are going to eventually catch up with him. and you don't
This
want to
might be
be,
the year it happens.
yeah, and you don't want to be the guy that takes him on the year when it finally happens. And I think that's me, and that's my hesitancy with McCoy this year. I think this might finally be the year because his touch total for this season, I think, is probably going to be the same, if not more, than the way it was last season. And eventually, the wear on the tire is going to shake loose, and something major is going to happen. And for me, I'm looking for that to happen with McCoy this year. So, do I think he should be drafted in that top 10, top 12? Sure. Yeah, I definitely think he should. But am I going to be the guy to take him? More than likely, I will not. If I had my.
If he's my number two, I'm happy. He was my number one last year, in the SBFFC in the draft that Brandon and I do in Kentucky. Woo, fantasy! But Shady returned his value last year. He didn't have a great year like I expect him to, but he still finished amongst the top running backs in the league last year. He stayed healthy. I think that's all you can ask for, because you had a lot of guys last year that were drafted high that didn't stay healthy or were off the field for Bears. And Shady was out there every game. And especially in the playoff time, he returned his value. So I think, but that was last year. This is this year. Shady's had some injuries that are close to injuries that you think, man, Shady's done, crap. Shady's one of those guys that, I tell you what, I better have his backup. You better handcuff Shady McCoy if you have him. And you better go after whoever that backup is. You better go after him early.
Yeah, you're going to have to go after him early. He's going to be that guy that's going to be there at the 1-2 turn in most drafts. So you have the possibility to get him as your number two running back if you go running back. And kind of to what Nick's point was, if he's going to be my number two running back, I'm a lot more comfortable than if he was my number one. So Shady at 10, probably how I described him, I think he's going to be a little bit high for me. But I think you're going to see that ADP kind of shift a little bit. Definitely so. I think you're going to see a guy come in, like you're going to see Saquon Barkley come in, probably jump ahead of him in ADP, and going to get a little bit of moving and shaking, so to speak, amongst this grouping that we're in right now. I think there's going to be some players moving around as a lot more of the drafts start taking place over the summer months. So you want to go 212?
Yeah, let's go to 12.
We'll go
We've
to
done a lot
12.
better. We've done a lot better on time this week than we did last on quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely. So, going to the 11th spot, Devontae Freeman, falling there, the local product from Atlanta, where Nick is right now. How are we feeling, Devontae Freeman? Coming off a down year last year, many people were expecting a lot more than what you got out of Devontae Freeman last year. Did we see the real Devontae Freeman last year, or is that an aberration?
I think coming off in drafts with him going as one of the last number ones off the board, I think this is about right. There's a couple other guys I think are going to be right there with him that I have ranked above Devontae Freeman, but this is about the kind of spot where I think most teams would be comfortable taking right at that late one, early number two running back spot. So he's gonna catch his passes. He's going to be favored over Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman is definitely a guy I want. I think he's going to come back a little bit based off of his season last year. He's going to be a little bit better than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I had Devontae Freeman in a league last year, and I was expecting a lot more than what I got out of him by season's end. There's just that offense in general, which I had suspected coming into the year, you were going to see a lot of changes in that offense after Kyle Shanahan left. And I think that's what you saw last year. The running backs weren't featured like they were in previous years.
They did not use the running backs like they should have.
Not at all. And even Matt Ryan looked like he was lost for most of the year. That whole offense was looked out of sync, and it inadvertently hurt Devontae Freeman's numbers. And of course, you know, Freeman got a little dinged up and missed a couple of games throughout the year as well. So I'm okay with Freeman falling here right there at that tail end of the running back one chart. You could probably make a case for him like you could with Shady. Getting him as your running back two, you're going to feel a lot better than him as your running back one. It's just going to be, for me, if he was my number back one, I would definitely have to have Antonio Brown. Say Antonio Brown, I went with him middle of the first round. You know, I've already got my wide receiver stud ready to go, and now I'm looking for a running back on that return coming back in round two, and Devontae Freeman being the top player left on the board, then I would feel a little bit better. But if you're at the end of round one and Devontae Freeman's your choice, I think you might be kind of doing this thing wrong. And that's why you probably need to listen to our show a little bit more so we can steer you in the right direction. So for me, Devontae Freeman, I'm a little bit more skeptical on coming into this year because just based on last year's performance, that to me, that might be an indication of how that team is going to play offense going into this year. And of course, you have the split with Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman is a thorn in the side of Devontae Freeman. He comes in and takes a lot of potential points away from Freeman. So I don't like the setup between those two. And I would much rather have a guy that's going to get more bona fide touches as my running back one. Number 12. Speaking of a guy splitting touches, we have Mark Ingram coming in at 12. The other spear to the two-spirit attack that is the New Orleans Saints running attack. How are you feeling with Mark Ingram? Can he repeat last year's performance while splitting time with Kamara?
This is definitely not a favorite pick of mine. I mean, Mark Ingram, I think he's going to have a good year. I don't think that is the problem. It's just, do you want to draft him ahead of guys who are going to be a clear, solidified number one? I do not. I think this is a little high for my taste, especially with I think Kamara is going to play a little bit more of a role in the offense. Granted, both guys are going to be good, but if I have a number one running back spot on my team, would I want Mark Ingram or a guy like Jordan Howard, Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, some of these guys that are going to be a true number one in the offense? I would much rather have them over Mark Ingram.
I'm kind of there with you. Mark Ingram, I think, played with more of that chip on his shoulder last year in an attempts to get paid, get a better contract this year. Then, of course, that is, is what he was attempting to do. All the people saying that Adrian Peterson was a better running back coming into the year than he was. So I think Ingram played a lot over his head last year. But in turn, Ingram's usually a guy that's very consistent and kind of gives you quality numbers week in and week out. Are they bona fide, like top five numbers each and every week? No, they're more along the lines of kind of a high end running back two, low end running back one on certain weeks. So where he's falling ADP wise right now, I can get it. If it's me in that position and I'm looking at Mark Ingram, or let's say like a Joe Mixon or Jordan Howard, am I going to go with the possible upside of those two other running backs over a guy that's splitting time on the field? More than likely, I will. Like I said, I like guaranteed touches. I like a guy that's going to be more of a bell cow at my running back one spot over a guy that is splitting touches, and you've got to hope that he gets in the end zone once or twice for him to fulfill his potential each and every week. So, yeah, I'm not that high on Mark Ingram as a running back one draft pick. So that finishes up the top 12. Of course, like I said, this is going to change a lot over the next few months. It's going to be something that we'll revisit from time to time as well. Of course, I think we're going to wind up doing our own mock draft here pretty soon as well, so we'll be getting ready for that. But some other running back stuff. Let's touch on a sleeper and a bust for Nick Heffley.
I love my sleepers, so we're gonna go in true Heffley fashion. We're gonna go a couple of them here. So Christian McCaffrey in this is actually going 13th. I think he's gonna finish a little higher than this. Granted, his rushing totals last year were not that good, but he got a shit ton of receptions last year. I think he's gonna find some more holes. He's gonna be the feature guy in that offense. I think he is. I hate to call it a sleeper at 13, but he's a guy that I really like there. Moving a little further down the board, Derrick Henry is going to be the unadulterated number one running back in that offense. He is going to be a guy that I will certainly be keying on. If I get Derrick Henry as my number two running back in the league this year, I will love every freaking second of it. Jerick McKinnon is another guy that he's going down in fantasy football calculator. He's going 25th. He's going to be a guy in that offense that is going to get the ball quite a bit coming out of the backfield. And finally was a guy that started out really, really well last year. Got hurt. I know crushed some fantasy dreams out there, but Chris Thompson is actually in Houston now. I think he's going to be getting some receptions in that offense there, taking over a little bit for Lamar Miller. Going a little bit 38th in fantasy football calculator, I think he's going to go and be worthy of having that as being like a number four guy. So what about you? Oh, sorry, hold on. One last one. Marlon Mack, Indianapolis. Now, the Colts could very well get Saquon Barkley here, but I think Marlon Mack, if he is the guy, if they don't draft another running back, Marlon Mack could have a really good year with Andrew Luck coming back. So, all right, sorry. Now, bust.
Bust.
Let's see here. Lamar Miller, I mean, he's not going until 20th in some of these drafts, which is a little bit lower down. It's probably about where he should be going, but I'm not going to be a Lamar Miller fan this year. You know, at least in guys that we have not talked about, bust. Let's see. Jay Ajayi, I'm not super excited about at 17th. They're going to have a lot of mouths to feed there in that offense, so. In terms of bust potential guys that we haven't talked about, I think Jay Ajayi would be a guy that I'm going to probably steer clear of. So, what about you, B?
Yeah, well, I'd say as far as some sleeper potential, you touched on one of mine, Jerick McKinnon out in San Francisco. I think you're going to see a very, very big change in his ADP as we get along and closer to draft time, just from the sheer of amount that they talk about Jerick McKinnon, that coaching staff, Kyle Shanahan, and everyone raving about how much they love him and they're wanting to involve him in that offense. I think Jerick McKinnon's going to be a guy that you're going to, right now, is going as, was it a running back two, I think? Two, right there, the 2-3.
Yeah, 2-3.
A 2-3 on fantasy football calculator. You're going to get a guy that could very, very well, by season's end, probably push as a low end number running back one with the amount of touches and potential catches, just points scored in general, Jerick McKinnon might get. I like his potential there. So that is one sleeper for me. Another sleeper, if you kind of really deep dive down into the depth chart a little bit more, Deontay Foreman from the Texans. Yeah, you touched on Chris Thompson being there, touched on Lamar Miller as far as a bust. I think you'll probably see Lamar Miller get cut as we get closer into training camp and probably as the season gets closer to getting here. I think this coaching staff likes Freeman. I think they want to see what they can get out of him. They liked what they saw in limited time on the field last year. So Freeman's a guy that you can get very, very cheap, get him as a fourth, fifth running back. He has that potential. He can jump up your depth chart and jump into your starting lineup probably by midseason, latter part of the season, to get into fantasy playoff time. It'd be better to grab him late in drafts and have him there on your roster as opposed to having to rush to the waiver wire once it's found out that he's going to be the starting running back in that offense. He's definitely a flyer-type player for me. And, of course, rookie-wise, I've been on him for weeks, and I want to kind of keep bringing his name up, Rashad Penny. I think wherever he falls and whatever running back, whatever team he goes to, I think he has a shot to take touches right away from. if not be the starter immediately. And I think Rashad Penny's going to be a guy that you're going to be talking about like a Kareem Hunt last year, like an Alvin Kamara last year, a guy that's going to come in as a rookie and immediately give you value. So he is a name to watch for as we get closer into the fantasy drafts. As far as a
And obviously, a couple weeks from now, we're gonna have a lot clearer picture of
yeah, the
situation. Rashad Penny, if he goes to be a backup for, Jacksonville, is probably not gonna hold as good value as if he goes to back up Shady McCoy.
yeah.
Situation, just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, is a lot. But as witnessed by Alvin Kamara last year, who I like, but I thought, well, you've got Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram there. Where are they even going to find the value for him, even on third downs? The good running backs tend to find a spot out there. So, there's definitely some running back. I know running backs that I know that we like, especially this year, that depending on where they land, could be in a good situation for us come fantasy time.
I mean, and one that we didn't get to talk about that is right there on the edge of running back one, Jordan Howard. I think you're going to see more of the Jordan Howard from 2 years ago this upcoming year than the one you saw last year. I think that offense has some potential. Like I said, I'm kind of skeptical with Mitchell Trubisky, but if Trubisky can even find a semblance of a passing attack, I think Jordan Howard, the way that offensive line is starting to kind of come around, I think Jordan Howard has a chance to be one of these guys that's going to find his way into that top six, top seven by year's end. So.
And let's not forget Tariq Cohen. If Matt Nagy loves to throw the ball to his running backs, Tariq Cohen is going to probably get some receptions coming out there. And granted, he's probably not going to do as well as he did when he caught, what, 12 passes week one last year.
That's true.
But you're looking as a guy who's probably going to go as probably a number four, probably a number four running back out there. Tariq Cohen's going to hold some value this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean,
So.
he'll have some of that flex. He'll have some flex appeal, like I like to call it. In given weeks, he's a guy that you can plug in based on the matchup. If you're looking for some cheap points just out of receptions alone, he's going to be a guy to really target and go after. As Tariq Cohen will be a guy that's going to get you those six, seven, eight looks a game, probably bringing in 4 to 5 catches every week. So, a guaranteed baseline from a player like Cohen is not a bad thing to have on your roster. So.
So who you got as a bust,
My
Brandon? You didn't.
bust, I would,
Who's your bust?
I
The
would.
guys that we had, not a top 12 guy. Guy that's gonna bust later on down the line here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the later you get down the line, you can't really necessarily call him a bust. So,
Let's go from what fantasy football calculator
from
top
where the
20. Who's
calculator
the guy that's
has
gonna
him,
bust?
Carlos Hyde is a guy that I'm not high on at all. He's going 16th. He's the 16th running back off the board right now. New running back in Cleveland, of course, but if Cleveland were to say they draft Saquon Barkley, that immediately just kills the value of Carlos Hyde. And now you're looking at a guy that's getting drafted as a running back two to a guy that's probably going to fall down in that running back four range in ADP. He's not going to bring the value of a running back two like he's getting drafted right now. And I don't even if. He was to maintain the starter's role. Say the Browns don't go with Barkley in this draft, or don't even draft another running back in general. Hyde's not a player that can stay healthy long enough to bring you running back one return. So I would be wary of taking Carlos Hyde. I think we're talking about a guy now that's, he's been in the league, what, 3, 4 years? Never had a 1,000 yard rushing season. So I don't expect for that to change going to Cleveland. So. He would be one that I would definitely look at. I would definitely, like I said, Lamar Miller, you pointed him out as well, coming off the board 20th. I think he gets cut. I think he's going to be looking for another team. So Lamar Miller is definitely a guy that I would say would be busting as well. So that'll probably give you a couple from me that I'm looking at right there.
Another guy I see that I'm going down the list here that I guys I'm not going to be fans of coming in this year. Alex Collins at 21 for the Ravens, I'm not going to be a fan of. I think he had his good little output there. I think we're going to see the Alex Collins that we saw during his time in Seattle, a guy that is just not going to be there. CJ Anderson's another one of these guys. I think this is actually going to be the year of Devontae Booker. I think Booker's going to come out take some value from him. So I think CJ Anderson is another one of these guys that I am going to be steering very well clear of.
Well, CJ Anderson was actually a guy that was, on the trading block, and as far as I know, with some things that I'd heard, that they had a deal in place and was going to move him to the Dolphins, and then the last minute, the Dolphins pulled the offer. So he was on the way out the door in Denver. I mean, they were ready to give the reins over to Booker, but.
Hey, Broncos, if you're going to make this trade, why don't you make it with about a week left to go before the season so I can go ahead and get Booker later on in drafts and get that value on him? Please. Please wait.
Yeah, Booker's a guy that kind of flashed potential. He came in late in the year last year. Had some good weeks here and there. So Booker does have the potential to do some things there.
I know your boy Jamal Williams is down there too. I'm surprised you hadn't talked about him yet.
Jamal Williams, that's going to be more of a thing now. The coaching staff is again talking up Ty Montgomery, again talking up
But
Aaron
shouldn't you
Jones as
want them to
well.
talk? Shouldn't you want them to talk those guys up? If they're talking those guys up, that means you're getting Jamal Williams at a later point. That should be a good thing
And
for
I think
you.
it's a good thing. I think Jamal Williams is the better running back out of the trio, and I think that shows once the games are being played. But then, jumping back into the Denver situation too, D'Angelo Henderson, their third string running back, got hurt last year. I think he might be a player to watch out for too, say if something were to happen with CJ Anderson and they did deal him. I wouldn't necessarily count on it being the Devontae Booker show. Do your homework. Keep an eye on some of the news and notes and things like that. Of course, listen to our show. We're gonna give you the news and advice and everything as well. So, but D'Angelo Henderson's a guy I think that coaching staff was high on last year. They're probably gonna be the same way this year. So, I would not be shocked to see him get a little bit of look, especially in the preseason. Keep an eye on how that situation unfolds in the preseason. So, yeah, that is the some running back talk as we sit here on April 15th, 2 weeks in front of the draft. Next week, gonna probably go and tackle the receivers.
Talk a little pass catchers.
Talk a little pass catching.
Just as a preview, I mean, the running back situation's good. The wide receiver position's probably just as good. I mean, just taking a quick look at some of those guys, we're gonna be talking about guys who, we would love as a number two wide receiver that are, way down the list. So there's gonna be a lot of guys for us to talk about next week too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot to talk about right now, and nothing's etched in stone, nothing's cement or anything right now. But like we reiterated earlier in the show, the NFL draft is going to bring a lot of things into picture, and based on how some of these moves are made in the draft, that's really going to kind of shake some things out with these ADPs and shake things out as far as how you feel about a player and how you feel his role is carved out in an offense. So, definitely going to be a busy next few weeks as we head into the draft and the next, the week or two after the draft. Definitely a lot of things to talk about after the fact. So it's a fun time of year. NFL never sleeps. We never sleep. Always stay on top of the fantasy football news.
I don't know about you, but I need sleep, man. I'm old.
Yeah, I mean, I've had plenty of sleep the last couple of days. Trust me, this crap that I've been dealing with, not feeling great. I powered myself through this hour of the show. Now it's going to be time to probably hit the NyQuil, fall it on asleep, and start a week of work tomorrow freshly.
Such a trooper.
Yeah.
Such a trooper.
I mean, when you got a show to do and you got fans out there, you can't let the fans down. You got to get the product out there. People want to hear this stuff. They want to hear the
People
gold.
are calling for it.
People are wanting to hear the golden voice of young Nick Heffley. And so we
Thank
will
you.
provide that to
Young,
them.
thank you. Wow. So nice.
I mean, even me with the possible sinus infection that I'm dealing with right now, we're providing solid quality content on these airwaves. That's the only thing you ever get out of me is solid quality content. That is right. And anyways, wrapping it up. How heading into next week? Wide receiver talk. Be ready for that. And Nick Heffley, where do they have where are they gonna look you up on Twitter for bold predictions, bold statements?
You find me at Nick Heffley. I say every week that I'm going to change it, but still nice vanilla at Nick Heffley on Twitter.
That's true. Whereas I am the Roto Superstar, that is not vanilla, and that is exactly how I feel about myself. Confident in my abilities, and
Sucking ass and losing leagues in the end. I'm kidding.
yeah,
I'm kidding.
he is kidding there, ladies and gentlemen. He kids because he cares. And anyways, yes, Roto Superstar on the Twitter. Currently in the midst of doing the team previews on rotoexperts.com. Kind of at the tail end of doing the write-ups. Got a team coming out pretty much every single day right now. So go and check that out and get my perspective on team needs and what I think the teams are going to be doing in the first three picks in their draft. Definitely some good read out there. If you're not really a draft Nick, so to speak, it's worth a look. Kind of get an idea of what your team wants to do. I look at it from an objective point of view and kind of use information based on the team needs and everything like that, what I think that they're going to do. So go check that out. Definitely could use more eyes on the product. It's always worth it. But anyways, moving on to next week, like I said, wide receiver talk, and we will tackle that. As for the show, it was another great week in the books for fantasy. And this show, of course, is on ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. Go and check us out there on thechairshot.com. We always use our heads. And we advise you to always use your head. Hashtag use that on the Twitter. Hashtag always use your head. Anyways, moving on. Nick Heffley, enjoyed it, sir. Another good week in the books.
As usual, man.
As
Excited for
usual.
next week.
And to everyone else out there listening, we bid you a fond adieu, and we will be talking to you next week. See ya.